Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes. Yeah.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. And joining me in studio, I'm glad it's more than once a year, but, you know, family and work gets in the way sometimes. But Greg Sorvig of Heartland Film is here, director of film programming.
You got it.
Just the one title?
That's it.
At one time it was two, and then we consolidated.
Ever since, I've been dropped. You know, I drew the line.
That means you wrote the screenplay yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Hi, credits humor. But anyway, he is here to talk about Indie Shorts, the International Film Festival. This is the first. It will be annual next year.
That's right.
Running July 26th through the 29th. And actually, you know what? There's three sequels opening in theaters this weekend. Let's talk about the shorts first.
Sure.
We'll get to
good.
That. So... And if you've not been to Heartland, you should really go to Heartland. But what's been great about the Heartland Film Festival, which will be in October, and we'll get to that when it gets closer.
Sure.
But what has been fun about a film festival like Heartland is that you have a lot of short films as the quote-unquote opening act. The cinematic Dokken or Bad Company or what, pick your favorite opening act,
yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. And so finally, there's been enough of a wave of shorts that have been thrown into your realm that I'm guessing, what the heck, let's just have a shorts fest?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was a perfect storm. You know, we've been around for 27 years. I think we've grown in a multitude of ways. So this was one to our president, Craig Prater. One of the first festivals he worked at was Palm Springs with Sonny Bono. They expanded years ago to the Palm Springs Shorts Fest, which is like the primo fest for shorts. So there are thousands of film fests out there, but only dozens of short film festivals. So we're hopefully riding that early wave. Additionally, we became Oscar qualifying back in 2012. You go through an application process. So that means whoever wins our top short within a given category goes on and skips the theatrical requirement, which how many shorts do you see in the theater besides a Pixar film? Not many.
Exactly.
So,
and I always tell you, take a chance. There's
definitely.
We know as you, the audience, you can choose what you want to watch. Some of us, I know the struggle is real for people like Greg and myself. We sometimes have to see more than we need to, hashtag first world problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very rare for us to sit down and watch something that we know nothing about. So when we have those opportunities, and especially in the shorts, so it's the fact that seeing something, and then of course with the festivals, another one. You know, except for maybe the big opening and the big closing, and unless there's a local angle to it, don't know these films, and
right.
Then you see them, and then you hope that they get a life elsewhere, and then you can say I saw it when
exactly. But then for shorts, most of the time it's I saw it then or I didn't see it.
Right.
Sometimes it'll hit online or something too. But it's totally different, and it is a totally different ballgame for short films. With feature films and the distribution world, it's a lot easier now. Some great places like Vimeo, Shorts TV, Shorts HD, a lot of different channels and platforms online for films really to get out there. But, yeah, so we thought we would just claw machine all of the shorts from October into their own event. So
With
all the
an
same
actual
winners
claw machine.
Exactly. And the neat thing, too, is that we actually became an Oscar qualifier in documentary shorts this year, too.
You've mentioned it a couple of times. Can you go a little bit more about the process? I mean, did you, Dear Academy, did you submit?
basically, there's an awards contact at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and you have a request to apply. And there is a long application. They look at everything from how many years you've been around, your past winners, you need letters of recommendation, your juries.
It's like a job interview? Who wrote your letters of recommendation?
We've had past filmmakers who are Academy members, people who have been nominated, other people. Yeah, so
I'm asking you to name drop.
Matt Soucy. Fine.
Oh,
Matt,
stop. I did.
Matt, fine. I knew it would come to this. Yeah, Matt Soucy got us our Oscar qualification. Thanks, Matt.
He's also a fine actor.
Yeah, so basically what that means, there's only about 46 in the entire world that have this designation, and I think there's only in single digits that have two or more categories. I think some have the trifecta, Nashville, Cleveland, some of the big dogs as well, like Sundance. So we're in really good company. So it's a sad yet amazing thing at the same time, kind of a double-edged sword, that Heartland is still the best-kept secret around Indiana and beyond, too. Well, so we want people to come out and check these out.
We kept that up. So you, when did the submissions first flood the office?
Ooh, so we opened call for entries in, I think, November. So we started getting things there.
So you've exhaled from the film festival.
Yes.
And rested, saw your family, saw some films on your own.
Basically,
and
yeah.
Then jumped right back in.
And it's not just like, oh, hey, let's see your films. There's a lot of logistics. You're putting on a whole other event.
Do people come by the office with a canister?
The canister?
Or even a videotape?
You know, I'll tell you what. I won't name drop here, Tim. But we had somebody this year, and it's for a major festival. And here's the thing. Usually if somebody is calling with very basic questions, it can sometimes align with the quality of the film, perhaps. But there was somebody, because when you have a film in this digital age, you compress it, you put it in a format where we can watch it via online screener. And this gentleman was adamant and mad that we were not going to see his film in 4K. He wanted if we can get the AVID file from him. And I just, you know, I was going in circles. It was like the Twilight Zone.
Be polite, be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Exactly. Correct. So there are people who, again, it's almost like a job interview, bringing it back to that. It's like you're trying, not that you have to kiss my butt, but, you know, at least do the bare minimum. And
thank you, Mike Judge.
Yeah. At least come in to, I mean, hey, follow the basic rules we have online. It's not hard to throw your movie up on Vimeo with a link or a password.
Do you have the Heartland enforcer? Do you have your J.K. Simmons that has to come and throw the guy
out? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll say a lot of my professional success has just been being this kind of mediator as well. So we have a couple people on staff, and if someone can help, I will be that final person. And I've only told one person that I've only hung up on one person. In recent memory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I apparently enough dander was risen. Enough dander was up that
you can only repeat yourself enough times and offer help and guidance. Since like
and you're not Philip Glass.
We're not in your post house to tell you how to do stuff. We'll guide you. But we also get weird inquiries about, hey, can you look at my script? Can you pass my script to so and so? And like, no, we do. We kind of look at the finished project.
I've had show pitches.
Really?
In the building. People walk in and pitch programs. Want to talk to somebody, great idea, that sort of thing.
Film sorvigology is what I'm here to talk about.
Did you see All About Eve? You pry this show from my cold, dead hands. So, all right. So anyway, it happens. It happens. When you have a front office, it's going to happen. So that's – there's there. So and if you see us on the street, we'll tell you more off-the-record stuff. But anyway, that was entertaining. No, so all right. So November, they start floating in.
And yeah, yeah.
When did you have enough to realize, oh, my, we could really round this up?
That's the hope. I mean, I know there's submission platforms. I know Film Freeway has really taken off. There's been Without a Box, which is a subsidiary of IMDb and Amazon and stuff too. But we usually try to look at like past years and kind of do like a tracking system, but with being a brand new festival, it was a little bit longer in time that we could submit films, but it was probably a month or two in, we knew, hey, films are coming in. Then the deadlines hit. There's usually a regular deadline, an early bird, regular, late, super late, extremely final, no excuses late. The prices go up from there, but a lot of filmmakers are procrastinators, so thank you for your extra money for your late project. So you pay for being a procrastinator.
Artist.
Yeah.
Okay, so and apparently there's so many, you now have categories, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So when we started out years ago, even when I started in 2012, it was just...
Oh my, hold on a moment.
Party foul.
Hold on a second. This is great. WFYI. WFYI, may I help you? You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Matthew Soucy here with Greg Sorvig of Heartland Film, talking about, well, phones ringing, but we're talking about Indie Shorts, which happens July 26th through the 29th at the IMA at Newfields. Is that, that's...
I think it's technically Newfields.
Newfields,
but yeah.
Sorry, at Newfields.
It's always Deer Creek.
Until they underwrite you, and then right. You call it Ruoff. So, ladies and gentlemen, full disclosure. We have two full disclosures. One, there's a telephone in the studio, and that person decided to talk. And the other full disclosure, and I should have said this right out the gate, I'm one of the judges at the shorts this year. So there's that. So, you can pick
no
up
collusion.
Right. Oh, could no not collusion.
Yeah.
Double negative thing. Yeah. There's a Jack. And by the way, kudos to Stephen Colbert for doing a cover of a Jack Sheldon song from Conjunction Junction. Anyway. All right. So back to the. So there was enough material that you could not only have a festival, but you could also have separate categories.
Yeah, definitely. And I think some film festivals might just say, I mean, basically, we are taking short films, mashing them together into feature-length programs, meaning we want you to come at least watch 90 minutes plus of content.
I think what has been a wonderful trend, and it's happened for at least a decade, when it's Oscar season, that what will tour, what will hit theaters, and it's usually your art house, but the animated and live action shorts
and docs.
And the docs, and they all, and so you get, you get five films for your hard-earned money, and they'll have various degrees, but the fact is you get a medley, and
I think
that's really, really cool.
So really, it's broken down. So we have some festivals will say blanket statement, these films are in competition, and realistically for me, different strokes for different folks, but I think if you tell somebody you're in competition, nobody tells you how they select their films on their website, how they do it. I don't know how
It's so con-like.
It's just bizarre. So that's what we do. We basically say, these are the five films per category in competition. We pay the way for these filmmakers, regardless of where they are in the world, because we want it. There's sanctity to this. We give big cash prizes, Oscar qualification, and we want there to be that community as well, too. And we've had great relationships being built at Heartland, and people going on to do new projects and stuff, too. But also, those shorts, we've had an Oscar winner 5 years in a row now from Heartland, which has been pretty crazy. So,
can you rattle them off?
Rattle off. We had Innocente back in 2012. I just put the list together, too. I can't rattle them all off. But going backwards, Sing won last year for live action. We had Stutterer, The Phone Call with Sally Hawkins.
Yep.
What's the one I'm missing? In the 2010 God of Love, I'm missing one. I'm very sorry.
It's okay.
That one
we'll find
last
out.
Film. But yeah, that's fantastic. You think, because we have all these films come in, only 4% or so make the lineup. And then the fact that that small percentage happened to go on through all the politics of Academy voting and lobbying and stuff, too.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
People lounging out at Fountain Square, like at Con.
Yeah.
They're outside Kuma Corner or the Meadery and just, waiting for a deal.
Yeah, exactly.
With their canister under their arm.
Yeah. So it's really neat. So, it's just a great thing. And the beauty of the festivals, not just Heartland, but Indie Film Fest, all these other fests in town, it's really intimate experience. And it's really based on the audiences and meeting the filmmakers. It's not like if you go to a big fest, you might catch a glimpse of a filmmaker and they rushed off somewhere, even if they're a nobody still. It's, you really get
right.
to network and have a good time.
I think everybody's going to, I think the bar when it comes to festival stuff was set by Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
When he came here for The Judge.
Yeah.
The big surprise and coup on that.
Yeah,
one.
And it was a true surprise because we could not tell anybody. I don't know if you remember. I think as a member of the media, we're like, better come, you will regret.
And I journalistic integrity here at Film Sociology and WFYI, and I did not. So, and also because I was a true journalist, I could not attend, nor could I throw, you know, obscure Chaplin or Restoration references to him.
Yeah,
but yeah, I do remember that was a major coup. That was very, very nice.
So that was really cool. And then recent years too. I mean, we have in my time Jeffrey Rush, Jessica Biel came recently. Yep. So. And that's also what falls on me is getting those big dogs here. So I am in intense talks even now.
Can you not even tell your family?
No, I go in there, yeah. I my wife and I as
who's
part
coming
of,
this year,
as
dear?
Part of our prenup, you know. It's
yeah, that's it. You know, okay, Michael and Catherine Zeta, whatever. Jeez. Okay, so can you break down some of the categories that that will be featured?
Yes, yeah, so people, if you want to see the top ones up for the cash, there's finalists 1, 2. That's documentary, animated, live action. We have a bunch of different programs. Indiana Spotlight, we want to make sure we honor Indiana filmmakers.
Yep.
So we have 2 full programs with Indiana films as well. Additionally, we do themes. So as I tried to talk about earlier, some people might do, hey, here's Shorts 1 program, and it could be a potpourri smorgasbord. We want to prepare people a little bit with themes. So we have heroes and survivors. So whether it's kind of like veterans, firefighters, other people that have gone through dramatic trauma, a woman in India who had acid thrown on her face and kind of how she's gone through stuff.
Yep.
So that's kind of themed as well. And there's actually a film called American with George Takei. He was actually in a Japanese internment camp.
Yeah, in fact, the musical. There's a musical based on
yeah.
that. Yep.
And so this film is from a past Heartland filmmaker, and it's about that. So it's kind of live-action short film where he is kind of like looking back, and there's flashbacks and stuff too. So really, really fantastic film. That's in that program. We Are Family, so different families.
The sister sledge story.
Exactly. and some are more dysfunctional than others.
Not yeah. the 79 Pirates, sorry.
No. Around the world, so we, again, international. So these are just kind of a potpourri of different things from around the world. Making a difference, so kind of social impact, anything from like racism. There's Shine Global is a great nonprofit, and they put together this.
We're talking anti, right?
I'm sorry?
We're talking anti-racism.
Anti-racism, yeah. That's the angle we went with, the anti-side.
My daughter, when she was in middle school, everybody in the school had to do 3 20-minute-long presentations on particular subjects. And I remember she came in, so what are the subjects? Somebody did bullying, and I went for or against.
For or against? Debate club. Yeah.
Just checking. You know,
devil's advocate, you know, 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's great stuff within this program. There's a series online called The Election Effect. So people from different backgrounds on the student kids level affected by the 2016 election, good or bad. So there's something about that.
Pro and against.
Yeah, exactly, too. So that's really neat, too. First impression. So whether it's the actual story of the film itself or the subject, it's not as it seems. So don't judge a book by its cover. And the neat thing, too, is that we partnered with the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. Nick Novacki, he's been in Boardwalk Empire and a bunch of other things as well. Great actor. He's headed this initiative. And it's a film challenge, and they want people with disabilities to either be featured in these shorts or to be part of the production team as well. So we have 4 films from their challenge that just wrapped up in the past couple months, and we put them within our programs as well.
Very cool.
So that's really neat as well. But we have, I'll ramble off. Young at Heart,
please.
Old people with still a little bit of fuel in the tank, if you will, including Death Metal Grandma, lady who sings in a death metal band.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So this actually wasn't the documentary called Young at Heart, the
there
senior
was
citizens?
One, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So that's Heavy Metal Grandma.
Heavy Metal Grandma.
So this is not the major studio feisty old people movies that are very popular.
We have and one that's actually out of was at Sedona when I was there in Tribeca. It's called Wendy Shabbat, and it's actually about a group of elderly Jewish people who actually have Shabbat at a Wendy's. So they get tables together. They're enjoying their nuggets and Frosties.
Wow.
And it is amazing. So that's, I love the Young at Heart program as well, too. But yeah, that's definitely a good one. And that's, and when I was at Tribeca, they actually had them on like the morning shows, and they were rocking
that's
the Frosties.
Great.
Wendy's was really open.
I bet they were really happy
yeah.
about that.
Yeah. But again, here's, so again, if people think Heartland is just Midwest films or films that make you feel good, come and check out the After Hours short program. I'll tell you right there,
oh, please
too.
Please do.
It includes Alfred Molina as himself, as dead Alfred Molina. He's in a morgue. There's an autopsy going on, and it just kind of goes from there. But, yeah, we have a neat kind of almost like what was that Emily Blunt, Die Another Day, that they changed the title to.
No, excuse me.
Or what?
I would love to see Emily Blunt
was it
as
Die,
a
Repeat,
Bond
Die,
girl.
Or I don't know.
Hold on. Let me get to it. But keep
something
going.
With tomorrow in it, maybe.
Right, I know.
Who knows? Yeah. They changed the title.
Let's
for
replace
the
one generic title with another generic
exactly.
title.
But we kind of have like a cool sci-fi short like that as well, too, because Let Them Die Like Lovers.
I'm sorry. Edge of Tomorrow or Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Real. Thanks, Warner Brothers and Doug Liman and Tom Cruise. Weird. Bad story. Anyway,
like
bad titles. Film's okay. Bad titles.
A hilarious movie that's on here, too, that's actually a U.S. premiere called Hands Free. It's in the U.K. This
What's
guy,
it about?
Basically, it's just one angle. It's like almost like a reverse dash cam. You're looking in the dash of this guy coming from a job interview that he did not get. And there's a series of misunderstandings, and it is hilarious. So I'm telling you, I like offbeat comedies.
Yes.
There's some great animated bizarro stuff in here. Definitely come and check out After Hours.
I'm excited for when you show such pictures to your lovely spawn, to your child.
Yeah,
because you know, look how Emma turned out, and it's all good.
That's good. So yeah, no holds bar. You know.
All right.
We have a comedy, which I love comedy stuff as well. Art and music, including a horse that paints, Dead Old Chestnut.
Whoa! What?
Just a horse that paints. It's called My Paintbrush Bites. So it's a painting horse and his owner. So
tail or hoof.
Mouth. So he uses.
No. Oh.
Yes.
So grabs the brush.
Grabs
by the
brush
teeth
and paints. Yes.
All right. That's right. Pollock meets Equus.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, and there's another great film called Homeless, the soundtrack, and this woman has been estranged from her birth father, and he's actually living homeless, and it's this really it's not the kind of like the wrapped in a bow situation scenario that you'd expect, and they're both musicians, and they bond, and they. Tour together and play music, but they still have this personal relationship. There's still boundaries, so it's a really, really neat kind of portrait of that as well, too. So again, we try to do the pathos mix within all these programs as well.
You bring up the father-daughter, and I'm reminded of a film that opened last week that I really, really love called Leave No Trace.
Yeah, and that got the Studio Award for Martin, too.
Yes, and it's Ben Foster, and I still need to learn her name, but it's Ben Foster. It's a man with PTSD and his teenage daughter who live in a public park in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and they've been there for, I think, they've been living out in the wild for about 3 or 4 years. They're finally caught, and instead of being sent to jail or her being sent to an orphanage, he's on a work release program working for the guys who do a lumber yard for Christmas trees. So they give him a house. They give him a cell phone. They're arranging school for her, and this is more stifling and more of a prison to them than actual prison. But mm-hmm. the dynamic amongst the two leads, the father and the daughter, I compared it to Atticus and Scout. I mean, there is a little bit of dad-daughter element, and what happens is the first half hour, you see them in their environment, and it's a partnership. And as the film goes on, they realize they also have to be father and daughter.
Right.
Especially when the teenage daughter starts to develop opinions, ideas, disagreements with dad. So
yeah, and at what point do your I guess top line philosophical beliefs and ways that you operate as a human being when you're an individual as opposed to a father and
mm-hmm.
it was a really good film
from the writer and director of Winter's Bone and another out in the woods. They don't certain stuff you can't teach in acting class, and this was one of
right
those.
And it's from Bleecker Street, which has put out some really amazing stuff. They've become one of my favorite distributors recently.
I want to see the charity softball event of Bleecker Street versus A24.
yeah
those are the two heavy hitters right now.
Definitely.
As far as back to back.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, once again, that is Indie Shorts, July 26th through the 29th at Newfields. So people can go online.
Yeah, indieshorts.org. You can get tickets as well there. It's $12 a pop. We have a bunch of parties going on. There are panels. If you want to learn how to make a movie on your cell phone, we have Susie Botello from the Mobile Film Festival.
Make your own tangerine.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Get into Sundance. We guarantee. No, we don't. But we have also a high school program, so that's going into Indie Shorts this year as well. And our first success story is really she's coming back, Carol Nguyen.
Mm-hmm.
She's Toronto-based, and her family's of Vietnamese descent. I think her parents came in, so she's either second or third generation. And She won her high school film competition 2 out of 3 years.
Wow.
That she entered.
Dynasty.
She's gone on. She's gone to film school. She was one of the female faces of TIFF, Toronto International Film Festival, this year. Her face was all around
Excellent.
The billboards. And then she's one, I think, of 32 people who made the Sundance Ignite program for young filmmakers.
Wow.
And she showed her first film at Heartland, and she's gone on to do great things. She has a film called Every Grain of Rice. In the family program, so she's in the standard program. She's graduated even to that level as well. So we're excited to have her back. We're gonna have a panel of, hey, here's some tips for kind of either young or if you're like, you know, us, and then you get down on your achievements because you look at how awesome this young high school filmmaker is. And
oh, start looking at your reunion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh God, what I do?
If you want to initiate your midlife crisis, you feel free to come. If you're
That's
a high school
great.
Student, then you still have time and hope.
My God.
but we're excited to have Carol back.
And so it sounds like you're gonna have quite a few filmmakers visiting.
Yeah. So like I said, we definitely support and pay the way of the finalists. So that's 15 filmmakers right there, the high school winners as well. We have 4 different categories from Indiana films and from all over the world too. But yeah, a lot of other filmmakers coming in as well with their films and some stars from the film. So it's definitely a great time to network. And the thing about the main festival in October is that we're so spread out. This is all at Newfield. So we're going to have that just great kind of sense of community that we
cool.
just haven't been afforded in the past.
Cool. Now, I'm going to word this carefully. When it came to...
Let it out.
All right, fine. When it came to prize money and sponsorships, is
yeah.
it the same group you go after at Heartland for the Big Fest, or were you able to have a mixture of familiar and unfamiliar?
Yeah, yeah. So actually...
We know this because we have a pledge thing twice a year. In
oh, yeah.
The
well,
kind of, oh, by
well,
the
neat
way.
Thing that I can talk about we don't talk about enough is we have a great relationship with Newfields. And so actually... Part of other grant money that we got went towards we there was a feasibility study. Should we do our own 4-wall brick and mortar? Should we really? No, we don't. There's a whole other ball game. You're
right.
doing a business operation, so let's elevate the arts that are already here in Indianapolis. So we actually retrofitted the Toby, put in a lot of money to have this multi-year sponsorship and deal great partnership with Newfield. So it's a brand new screen that fits
Ooh.
Every square inch, surround sound, DCP compliant, state of the art projection. So with that being said, that helps the cost of just showing up and having it at a location for this Indie Shorts event. And then Shorts HD, you'll see, or Shorts TV, they're a big sponsor. They've sponsored us. They're a champion of short film. So they got really excited we're doing the Shorts Fest. So they came on board as well. So, yeah, and then Shorts Fest usually tend to bring a younger demo across the
mm-hmm.
board as well. You can be more adventurous, I think, with content. And that's the thing, too, when you program the films, you have a film, a subject. You're plugging that in with shorts. I mean, it's you have so much more. It's like a 1,000-piece puzzle as opposed to like a 50-piece puzzle.
Or a 10-piece puzzle.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Real basic. All right. So once again, heartlandfilm.org, and it's the 26th through the 29th at Newfields. All right. I did pull up the Heartland page.
Yeah.
6 Academy Awards for films honored by Heartland Film.
Yep.
So just a reminder, the phone call, Eddie Redmayne. So
for the short films, then for like the main feature films that are up for the big Oscars,
right.
we have that studio award. So that was just last year.
Eddie Redmayne for Theory of Everything. Nice.
Yeah.
Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, for supporting actress in
yeah.
that.
And then, yeah, I think that was a couple years ago.
Yep. Graham Moore and his screenplay for The Imitation Game.
Mm-hmm.
And then American Sniper for sound editing. And Paul Franklin, who did the visual effects for Interstellar.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing. Like, we have these big films, and we put an award on them, but we don't have as much ownership. You know what I mean?
Right.
These films are coming out regardless of if Heartland's around or not. But the neat thing about these independent short films is that, hey, we maybe punched their ticket to the Oscars, or we were one of the X number of festivals that
exactly.
played them. So they're like, I mean, that's a really great sense of ownership, and it's like cheering your kids on.
Yeah, and it is cool to see the logo when it's on a, you know, because you have festival, or this and that. And
yeah,
you see
yeah.
that. It's a nice stamp. It's a very cool.
Definitely, and I know, like, for Won't You Be My Neighbor, which I'm a huge Mr. Rogers fan, the huge, giant, like, 20-foot billboard or
yep.
a cardboard cutouts they have our logo, and they're like, yes, that's so cool.
I saw that, my family saw that film on vacation, and as I look back, I know we had screenings here in town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of glad I did not go to those for a couple reasons. One,
because I sang at one. That's
you do not
why.
No, it's not that. But
okay, thank you.
But the day we were in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it was the day that the Supreme Court Justice news was coming down pipe. So there was that. And we thought, oh, God, so there's going to be a shift in the country there. The president at my wife's job was going to step down. This was announced an hour after we learned about that.
Hmm.
So then we're like, it was a long, hot day. And we went, okay, this is the day we go see Won't You Be My Neighbor, which we did was an old single screen movie theater in St. Paul, converted into two. So the balcony was the second screen.
Hmm.
And I was really grateful that I was not the only grown up sniffling.
Yeah.
You could hear it. And I'm sure it was here as well. I mean, all theater. And I just a point of reference without giving away age a whole lot. I mean, my wife was too old for when Rogers came on. My wife's older than I. And Emma was young enough that she never really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't know the whole story.
Sure.
I experienced it. You know, because I think as a kid, for me, it felt like there was Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers and Electric Company. And that was really about it.
Yeah.
And so it really, really resonated. And all three of us were just a crying mess.
Yeah, and I think so. For grown men who actually idolized Mr. Rogers before the movie came out, I mean, it was like this. I'm friends. We had like the official archivist for the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood. He's just a dude who's a guidance counselor, and he did this as he has the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Archive. He's done this for 10 years, and I think you just with social media and stuff too. You're like, are you a real person? Are you okay? Are you mentally stable? You like Mr. Rogers? Okay, cool. Let me just make sure that you. So I think it's kind of vindicating from that standpoint at a personal level. But also, you just want to spread that message around.
Totally.
And I think that's what's really cool. I'm glad that Mr. Rogers is getting his due. And then the fact that, you know, Morgan Neville did not plan for this film to coincide with the 50th anniversary.
Right.
Just serendipitous how that worked out.
Exactly.
It was just really cool.
And because I knew my favorite line in the film, and those who saw the film know the line I speak of when I say, this was the first week.
Yeah.
So I knew about the Kennedy assassination and it's in the trailer. There were people crying at the trailers being played.
Yeah,
like
master
like
class of how to put trailers together.
Basically. So I knew about that they'd handled the Kennedy thing. I think I read after he died about the sharing your feet in the tub.
Yeah.
Sharing your feet in the bath, in the pool after the...
With Francois Clemens, the American. Yeah. Please
help and his story, my God, if you think it's all really, really happy endings and happy stories, and there is to a certain degree, but what he had to go through and had to wait to tell early on in his career and after the fact. There's about 1 minute of Fox News stuff that just made everybody really grumpy and irritable.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
Can't believe. And it was addressed. And the fact, it's kind of like punching the Pope. Or your grandmother. It's like, really? You're going to go after Mr. Rogers? That's the flag you want to plant? So anyway. But, blubbering mess, everybody in the theater.
And someone told me ahead of time, too, said it's basically the human being test. You're not a robot if you...
That's true.
Cry at least once during the film.
But the other thing that I thought was great at that particular movie theater was downstairs was Jurassic World, and didn't hear it.
Yeah,
didn't hear it because we've been to movies where we're watching something and you know the robots fighting robots happening next door.
I can tell you a tale of.
Oh, please do.
Last year, so two of our biggest theaters at Castleton. are right next door to Dolby. They have a Dolby theater and an IMAX. And it was Blade Runner 2049. Next, side by side with both of our lot of indie content. I mean, you could. It felt like you had the Dolby experience in the side theater, secondhand Dolby. You know.
Oh, God. That's good.
Yeah.
That's
a good one. But it was loud, and you know the sound mix of that film. It was pretty wild.
Yep. Okay, so see, ladies and gentlemen, you just got a good half hour about the Shorts Festival. That's more interesting than the three sequels that opened this weekend. Here are your three films that opened this weekend. Equalizer 2, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, and Unfriended Dark Web. Greg, are you seeing any of these?
Here's the thing. I actually, and I thought I was being a great husband because my wife pulled up the first Mamma Mia, which I'm not a huge fan of. You know, technically, it's just hey, let's watch these cool like these old songs we love.
Right.
And it's just
pretty
much
jukebox musical.
Let's use a few couple different crazy camera angles. They're not really doing any legit dance moves. Like right. we're just gonna film these people lip syncing to songs or whatever.
In this case, they are.
And so I think from that being said, if I hear about movies like that has great reviews so far, the word of mouth is generally pretty good. Like the early word, I was like to my wife, hey, you know, I'll go with you this weekend if you want, and she did not take me up on that offer. So
she went on her own, or she just didn't want to go.
There might be people from work that might want to go. So I was like, hey, you got your gift early, your Christmas gift early. So if you don't want to redeem that, then
I see.
Yeah, it's gone. It's wasted.
But I
like Lily James a lot too. To be completely honest, I think. Interesting to see, and I was actually really surprised. I didn't realize most of the original cast came back.
Well, and
so I think that's
screen time really is surprised. Going to be shorter than others, and apparently Cher was 3 when she had her daughter Meryl.
And now a lot of theaters offer alcohol, so I mean,
there's gonna be a lot of girls' night out.
Yeah,
there's gonna be a lot. Now I wound up seeing The Equalizer, and I'll get to that in a minute. But what I remember about Mamma Mia, I have come full circle. And I thank Pierce Brosnan for his singing, because I did 2 musicals last year, and it was if he can do it, I can do it.
He's an inspiration.
I've come around that. Yes, the women still sound better than the guys, but the first Mamma Mia. Now it didn't happen until Dancing Queen, but it took a little time for that film to embrace its silliness.
Yeah, yeah.
So because the first couple of numbers are kind of serious or kind of stable, but then you have old Greek women jumping on the docks, and I'm like, okay, this is the silly thing that you want.
Right.
The other thing I remember, there was an advanced screening for this at a certain theater on the north side, and they overbooked. I mean, they really overbooked, and it was the angriest crowd I had seen for a film. Think about not a kid's movie, not an action movie, not a horror film, but there were old people who were upset that they were not going to get into a free movie.
Yeah, I'm guessing because when I've been to word of mouth screenings, the general... No, I mean, take that back. There are some dedicated people across the age range who know the system.
Right.
They don't get there early. If I don't get in, oh, well, but yeah.
And the poor young rep, who I don't believe is in town anymore, she was...
Ran out of town.
She was... Oh,
thanks,
God.
Mama
Mia,
too.
It was really, really harsh. I was like, wow, that's kind of ugly. And apparently my buddy Melissa only had one single person who was kind of nasty. So there is that.
That's people in general. If you have one bad egg out of that many people,
and it just sets
you
the tone
to
for
accept,
the rest.
Yeah.
But it's free. Go see. So anyway, so that's there, and then Unfriended, I liked Unfriended, the first Unfriended, way more than I thought I would.
Uh-huh.
A clever take of the dumb teenager slasher movie, done in real time, done online. And clever use of technology. Now, apparently this one, they go into a more nefarious, instead of a revenge ghost tale, it's apparently, what I've read of the description of the story, real suspension of disbelief involving Saw-level hackers.
So it's not a prequel where someone drops out of your top MySpace friends list.
Right,
okay.
Something like that. So,
gotcha.
So no, instead I saw Equalizer 2, or as I like to think of it, Denzel Washington's latest way of financing the August Wilson adaptations he's promised
more
to do.
Fences
so,
coming
because he had pledged, I think he pledged that he wants to adapt all 10 August Wilson plays to the screen.
I'll see them. Yeah.
Starting with exactly. So we're starting with Fences. I can get behind that. So this is his first sequel as well. We love Mr. Washington. He's pretty solid, even if the material is not. But that explains. I'm like, okay, it's kind of like, and I'm sure I could get ugly social media, but it's kind of like when you saw Olivier in the 70s, he was helping get the National Theater up and running. De Niro in the 90s and the aughts, he's getting the Tribeca Film Festival up and going. So this is a purpose. This is a cause. It's not a certain actor who's got bad financial choices and has to clear his debt. Or his island, or what, or bad management. You know who they are. There's 2 of them, not 1, 2. But anyway, so the fact that he's back on this one, and I was the first Equalizer was fine. I was not angry that they made the Robert Woodard series into a film, and it's, but he this time around instead of and there's a little episodic things of him helping people at different levels. He's a Lyft driver now because he destroyed his work of his place of business last year in the last film, a hardware store where it rained inside. So you got the empty hardware store ending and the raining ending of the sprinkler system in one film. Anton Fuqua, who directed this one, also directed the first one. I will say this. The climax of this film takes place during a hurricane.
Mm.
So there is that.
Are there sharks in the said hurricane?
No, there are not sharks. Okay. There are sharknadoes or sharkapuses or whatever Dr. Moreau genre of killers you're going to put together, that sort of thing. But there's one about he's a Lyft driver now. So, you know, his customers are practically in his back seat giving him stories to tell. And he has a couple nice scenes with Melissa Leo, who plays an operative that from his past that they work together. She is killed, and he's got to find out who did it. And that's the crest of it. Pretty predictable stuff. But if you enjoy older gentlemen kicking butt, and that's what Mr. Washington does in this, and if this will help bring Two Trains Running or The Piano Lesson to the screen, then so be it.
Yeah, if Liam Neeson can do it, Denzel can do it.
Exactly. You know? So those are the films that are in theaters this weekend. Now, there is one thing, though, about Equalizer 2 I do want to bring up, because this is my esoteric head and your pledge dollars at work. Equalizer 2 is one of those films in which when you see the TV spots and the trailers, there's a moment in the advertising that is not in the final product of the film.
A little Rogue One action.
Very good. I would say everybody has theirs where you're like, hey, that's not in it.
Right.
So in this one, the scenes that are in the advertising but not in the film, but they will be in the deleted scenes on the disc when it comes out at the end of the year. He lives in a little quaint little apartment. Oh, that's the other thing. Denzel has a PSA with a young artist who he's going to help clean a mural that was graffitied, and he wants to be an artist, but the gang war of Boston is going to try to lure him into it, and Denzel helps him out of it. And it's one of the young gentlemen that was in Moonlight. I think this is also the Denzel PSA portion of the film, kind of like American Gangster, kind of like Remember the Titans. You know, of go stay in school, stay away from this. It's a like a non-controversial Cosby moment.
Okay,
we'll put it that way. Anyway, but there's a scene in the advertising where he is at a cookout, and the older mustachioed Caucasian gentleman sees that he has a book. He's a book reader, you know, and he asks Denzel's character, "What does he do for a living?" And he brings him. Denzel brings him close, and he whispers, "I'm a trained assassin." And, of course, the old guy laughs, thinking he's joking, and Denzel does the shush moment, and then you get to the title of the movie, and that's that. That's not in the film. The guy has, I think, one or two lines in the film itself, and I actually know who this person is. This is an up-and-coming actor working on his That Guy status. And here's the background. That guy...
Excuse me.
It's all right. That guy is Ted Arcidi. Ted Arcidi from Boston first came to fame in the early to mid 80s. Early 80s, I remember. At one point, I don't know if he still is. I have not checked the records. But at one point, he was the world's weightlifting champion. He was known as Mr. 705. After he got out of weightlifting, he went into professional wrestling. That's how I know him. He spent time in the then WWF, and then spent time in WCCW, and then I think only did it for a couple of years. Strong guy, big guy, you know, a lot of maybe not the most technical wrestler in the world, a lot of body slams and slamming of fists and arms.
That's all you need. Yeah.
Well, anyway, but we'll save wrestling talk for another time, another generation. But anyway, so he did that for a while, and then has gone into acting. And if you go on YouTube, you can see his demo reel, and he's done. So I think any project that comes into the Massachusetts area, he goes for. His, so far for me, claim to fame is he has one scene in the David O. Russell film, The Fighter. He is the guy when, and this is early in the film when Wahlberg's career is still kind of dragging along, and his mother, Melissa Leo, is in, you know, managing him. And Arcidi is the guy who comes in, and the boxer Wahlberg is supposed to fight cannot fight. He's got an injury of some kind, so they have to bring in another guy. And Arcidi's character is the one who, and he assures him he's going to be able to beat him easily. He keeps saying he's been on a couch, or he's been on a couch for a year, or something like this. And then, of course, we cut to the ring, and the guy is chiseled. He's not even in the same weight class as Wahlberg, and he's built like granite. And Wahlberg, and my daughter can even say, "I want a couch. I want his type of couch to be on." So, anyway, Ted Arcidi, I saw you, I recognized you. I hope you develop that guy status. So, salute. Yeah. Now I'm going to try to get him on the show.
Yeah, I think, well,
I did not see him wrestle live, but there was enough of him on TV. And like I said, if you go on YouTube, you can see some matches with him. He was he was quite the specimen in the 80s of that. So, anyway, those are the films opening this weekend. Heading over to the drive-in. Actually, I should say first, we're wrapping things up at Keystone Arts for their Midnight Movie Series. Good to see everybody at the room in, at the end of June. That was a lot of fun on the 30th. July 21st, and when you're listening to this. So at midnight tonight, Stop Making Sense. So you can check out David Byrne. Kudos to those that got to see Mr. Byrne in concert earlier this summer. And then July 27th and 28th, they end the Midnight Movie Series, and it's in Japanese, the 30th anniversary of Akira. That is happening there. Over at the Tibbs Drive-In, have you had a drive-in experience with the family?
I have not. We had our first just regular movie experience with our two-year-old.
What'd she see?
Well, actually, so we saw Serial Cinema, Follow That Bird last year. But that's kind of like, you can run around, do things. She paid attention for like 30 minutes, ate cereal, spilt cereal, you know, that old
What kind
stick.
Of cereal?
Ooh, they had a good selection there.
Yeah?
I can't remember if we tried to just go the non-sugary route. I think it might have been either Fruit Loops or just Cheerios.
Okay, all right.
But we saw Incredibles 2.
Ah, worked all right?
It worked all right.
She did okay?
The seats at this theater, like, unless you have enough mass, that this, like, it doesn't fold all the way. So that
she's
a bucket seat. But no, she enjoyed her icy and her popcorn, and we got books in advance, so she got really pumped when the raccoon came up on screen. It was a good time.
Excellent.
She lasted for most of it, so it was a really good experience.
Congratulations.
My first movie, fun fact, was Song of the South in theaters.
Howdy do.
Again, there must have been, I don't know how they pulled that string, but this must have been
guess what? It was not a video release.
No, yeah. So I think that's one that not many people can claim. So and I ran around like a madman, so my dad was very pissed off.
I understand. So well we don't
but
do
no
that.
Drive-ins. We'll hope to do that.
So at the Tibbs. Oh boy, here we go. Equalizer 2 and The First Purge. Okay. Bringing the kids to that. Yeah, 2 R-rated films. Screen 2, Mamma Mia and Skyscraper. One for her, one for him. Oh dear. Screen 3, Hotel Transylvania 3 and Jurassic World. Hoping the kids fall asleep by the second feature, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a little... Oh, Screen 4, Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, man.
And Ant-Man.
And Ant-Man?
Wow. Okay. That was the other one my family saw without me. So
So you buy the double feature ticket?
Well, it's a drive-in, so you can see both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, because Sorry to Bother You is if, I can't imagine if people go there and if they like it, they don't like it, if they're in a mood for another movie, if they don't like it.
And that's the one they're playing twice. So you get Sorry to Bother You at 9:15, Ant-Man at 11:25, and then Sorry to Bother You again at 1:35.
There you go. So you can pick and choose,
So, okay.
Don't want to be surprised before or after.
Good for you. So that's happening at the
That was
Tibbs.
A wild ride. That was a fun movie to see.
I need to check that out. Over at the Skyline in Shelbyville, you have Jurassic World and Hotel Transylvania 3. At the Historic Art Craft Theater at 7:30 tonight, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, fantastic.
See that on the big screen? Tuesday the 24th at 10 a.m., Balto is a part of the Summer Break film series. Thursday the 26th at 2 and 7 p.m., it's a fundraiser for Boy Scout Troop 228, Paul, Apostle of Christ. Tuesday, July 31st at 10 a.m., Daffy Duck's Quack Busters.
Well, this is what's cool about the Art Craft. I mean, we're a sponsor of theirs, too, and love Dave Windisch and Rob and the team down there, too. But they, if a group wants to do a one-off screening, they really accommodate folks.
And they like do.
That Apostle film, you know, sponsor wants to come up and do something, so...
So those are happening at the drive-in.
I'm waiting for Troll 2, though, at Art Craft, guys. Come on.
Have you brought this up?
No, I have not. This is it.
I have both Trolls.
Stake is claimed.
I have both Trolls on disc and Best Worst Movie.
I did see, Troll 2 at the Keystone Midnight years ago. Yeah.
Was it well attended?
It was fairly well attended.
Good.
It was about a third attended, but the people were so loud quoting it throughout the film that it felt like it was three folds full.
That's right. So you just have to extra drink some popcorn for everybody. Yeah. Okay, so this is how fun the show is. The audio montage I have, I'm gonna have to skip. So we're just gonna keep on plowing through.
Yeah.
New on video this week, Isle of Dogs. Mm-hmm. So for you Wes Anderson fans, it is, and for the kids, if they enjoyed Fantastic Mr. Fox, here's another animated film from Wes Anderson. I don't think it's as good as Mr. Fox. It's still enjoyable because I think even the bottom of Wes Anderson's list of his filmography is heads and tails above most of the stuff that's out there.
Sure.
So if you like dogs, and there's a lot of fun voices on this, it's an adventure. I think it's at times an even bigger and at times maybe darker adventure than Fantastic Mr. Fox because it's an island where dogs have been sent. They're not allowed in the country itself. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
political undertones.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah. Something to tell your kids on the way home. So that is there. The other big title for me that's on video this week, and hopefully more people will see it on video, You Were Never Really Here.
Mm.
Lynn Ramsey's action film with Joaquin Phoenix. Imagine Drive and Taxi Driver with daddy issues.
I'm pumped to see it. I didn't get to see it yet, so that's one that's
different
on my
really,
list.
The first half of the year was really strong, I think, for films, and I think we expect it in November, December, but this is one that currently is in my top 10 if I was keeping a chart. But Joaquin Phoenix with a hammer rescuing people. You could see Equalizer 2 and then rent this, and there's your double feature right there. Rampage is out on video, Super Trooper 2, I Feel Pretty, Disobedience, Truth or Dare, and Criterion. By the way, there's a certain chain bookstore that's doing Criterions for 50% off till the end of the month. And this week they have put out Sex, Lies, and Videotape from Steven Soderbergh. So I did.
And Disobedience is Bleecker Street as well.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Not a First Date film.
No.
Not a First Date film. Just saying that there. There is. It happened with me. I had not seen Isle of Dogs because my family saw it without me. Not better. But I had this actually happen. So I watched Isle of Dogs, and I had a film on Blu-ray that I converted from DVD to Blu-ray because it was $2 and I liked it. Hachi, A Dog's Tale.
Mm.
I don't remember bawling as much as I did the first time I saw this, and maybe because I just saw Isle of Dogs and Won't You Be My Neighbor, but it's based on a true story, because every other film is, of a dog who waits for his master every day at the train station, and it's played by Richard Gere, Joan Allen's in it, Jason Alexander, directed by Lasse Ray Hallström before he went into notebook mode. But after Richard Gere's character dies, the dog keeps going to the train station every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the train station people and the vendors and everything kind of take care of the dog throughout these times. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. But it's also a gut punch. So
and that was an event film at Harlan before my time too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that is out. So that turned out. And then I forgot that earlier this week, I watched the cult film A Boy and His Dog with the film adapted for the screen and directed by L.Q. Jones, starring Don Johnson, Jason Robards, and the voice of Tim McIntyre. It's a futuristic film with a talking dog and Johnson, who is surviving and screwing his way through the wastelands. And by the way, don't see this film with the other two films mentioned. Just because it has dog in the title, it's a cult film of a different kind. All right.
I'd be amiss, too, if I didn't mention that my new-to-me Blu-ray this week, Amazon Prime Day, Paddington 2, was only $11.99. So Shout out to you, Evan Dossey. Paddington 2.
There was the, we went through the titles if you replace a word with Paddington. Mm-hmm. So we went through those. Some good, some we can't talk about. We probably, well, you could probably joke about it here, but we only have 4 minutes left in the show.
Full Metal Paddington, I think, would be a great one.
I think somebody did The Last Temptation of Paddington, so we're just going to leave it at that. All right, there's a Dead People We Like medley I was going to play for you, but we don't have enough time. But we should mention, of course, famed military DJ Adrian Cronauer mm-hmm. passed away this week, and he was, of course, the inspiration for the film Good Morning Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I actually heard actual Cronauer audio, and so it's, you know, there is a basis of for Robin Williams to work on, not just him riffing. And of course, the Robin Williams documentary is on HBO, so check that out. Mm. Gary Beach, who played Roger DeBries in the revival and the film version of The Producers, passed away this week. I believe he was 70. And also got a Tony nomination for playing Gaston in the stage version of Beauty and the Beast back in the mid-90s. Speaking of which, Alan Johnson passed away a couple of weeks back. He was a choreographer best known for his choreography in the films of Mel Brooks. So he's the man who created the choreography for Springtime for Hitler, Putting on the Ritz, Blazing Saddles, the Inquisition from History of the World Part 1. He also directed Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft in To Be or Not to Be in 1983, as well as Solar Babies from 1986. Hmm. Yvonne Blake, costume designer. She won an Academy Award for Nicholas and Alexandra in 1971, nominated for The Four Musketeers in 1974. Also did the costume designs for Jesus Christ Superstar, The Three Musketeers, Eagle Has Landed, Escape to Athena, Robin and Mary and What Dreams May Come, and Superman. So all of that funky gear there. And then finally, and I pardon my Japanese, Shinobu Hashimoto, who was a screenwriter. I think he lived to 101, but did the screenplays, worked with Kurosawa. So the screenplays for Rashomon, Seven Samurai, Hidden Fortress, Ikuru, Throne of Blood, The Bad Sleep Well, Doskaden, directed Lake of Illusions and I Want to Be a Shellfish, and also did the screenplay for a non-Kurosawa film, among other. He's did a bunch of them. Those are the best known, of a Samurai Rebellion. And if you've not seen Kurosawa films, you got to get cracking. So.
And the death is not a ploy for that Criterion sale.
Well, it just so happens that several of these titles are available on Criterion. Yeah. So, if you're a Star Wars fan, you should check out Hidden Fortress. If you're a Shakespeare fan, Throne of Blood is his Macbeth. The Bad Sleep Well is a corporate version of Hamlet. So, Greg, thank you so much for hanging out.
Yeah, thanks. This is always a fun time. So I feel like this is we've really just peeled back the onion to a new layer this week, and just really just, you know.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is your Pledge Dollars at Work. And some words to live by. Soylent Green is people. Zardoz is spoken. I had to explain Zardoz online this week. You're welcome, folks. Go see a good movie. And don't forget, Indie Shorts, July 26th through the 29th at Newfields. Heartland Film Fest.
Heartlandfilm.org.
There you go. So, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, Michigan.
Then you'll do it.
Do it? Of course not. It's not my kind of thing. I mean, Max, please. World War II? Ooh, too dark. Too depressing. The theater's so obsessed with drama so depressed, it's hard to sell a ticket on Broadway. Shows should be more pretty. Shows should be more witty. Shows should be more... What's the word?
Gay?
Exactly. No matter what you do on the stage, keep it light, keep it bright, keep it gay. Whether it's murder, mayhem, or rage, don't complain, it's a pain, keep it gay.
People want laughter when they see a show. The last thing they're after is a litany of woe.
A happy ending will pep up your pay.
Oedipus won't bomb
if he winds up with mom.
Keep it gay.
Keep it gay.
Keep it gay.
Couldn't agree more. And you have our blessings, Roger, to make Springtime for Hitler just as gay as anyone could possibly want. So come on, do it for us, please.
I'm sorry, Max. It's simply not my cup of tea. Still, fair is fair. Perhaps I should ask my production team what they think.
Your production team? Who are they?
You'll see. They all live here.
Guys! Come say hello to me, Alistair and Bloom!
This is my set designer, Brian.
Hello.
Keep it mad! Keep it glad!
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!